Barf, barf.
Hello and welcome to Null Points. We're your hosts, Mark.
And Stephen.
And today we'll be talking about options. And since there are so many options, Stephen, that we will dive in today about how we can develop our mobile applications, and it's starting to become sometimes a bit overwhelming, it appears, because, oh my God, what should I choose? But before we go to that, let's make a short break. I've heard that we two will be going back to Cologne this October to the Donne Maui Day, and by the time this show is aired, it is a bit unfortunate because all the available tickets are sold out. And you had to pay €0, Swiss francs, dollars, Canadian dollars, Australian dollars, whatever your currency is.
Shells, clams.
Shells, krona, I don't know.
Anything.
And then, yeah, but it will be an awesome event. It's never recorded, but still a shout out to the Donne Maui Day. There is a website that we'll put in our show notes. So if you're going like, damn, I missed it again. I think there's even a Twitter account that you can follow. So it's a really cool event because it's a community-led event. And we will have some royalty from the Donne Maui team visiting. Gerald will be there. David Ortino will be there. Maddie will be there, though I don't know if she is still part of the .NET Maui team by now. She seems to have done an aspirational shift. And there will also be Sweeky, who I think so far never managed to visit the .NET Maui Day or a Xamarin Expert Day, at least none that I attended. So there's
correct.
Quite the lineup from the .NET Maui team. And since none of the sessions are recorded, usually you get to ask some of the more awkward questions. And sometimes you'll even get a direct answer, or at least people know that people, when they know that they're not recorded, they don't have to think really hard about giving a very political correct answer. Something I notice at conferences where stuff is recorded, you just can feel like sometimes when you get these a bit pointy questions, the speakers will go out of their way to give an answer that is not really an answer. Really cool format. Just a quick shout out at the beginning of this. Stephen, you got anything to add to this little tangent before we go to our main topic today?
I mean, I'd invite people over, but tickets are, as you said, currently sold out. There is a waiting list, which is also slowly filling up. And I've seen people cancel their tickets. I mean, I don't understand why, but...
And why would you ever?
I mean, okay. But positive side to that, other people who were on the waiting list can now get a spot. I think we had 80 tickets, partially also influenced by the limited amount of size that we have from a room perspective. So yeah, you can still try, but I think at the time this is coming out, it might have already happened, or at least you're very late to the party, at the very least.
Yeah, you're probably very late to the party.
Yeah.
But there's always next year.
Hey, there's always next year. This is the second one this year that we did, because we also had one during the beginning of the year somewhere. Don't ask me the exact date. I don't have it in my readily available brain. But it's always been a good little conference, as you said. It's very informal in that sense. People mingling about .NET Maui and all things related to it, sharing happy and painful stories along the way. It's always good fun.
It's good fun. And personally, I always leave like inspired to do certain new things. It's just like you get like that vibe around .NET Maui or mobile development, and you see like new ideas or stuff that you could do, or your side projects that suddenly becomes again a lot more interesting due to it. So I would heavily recommend doing something. I would heavily recommend like attending one of these .NET Maui days if you are in the region. We know they're in Europe, and we know that not everybody's close by, but this just shows you how we feel if you got a great conference nearby that we can't visit because it's too far away. So yeah, but I heard from good source, from Gerald, the brand .NET Maui Day is actually transferable. So if you are looking to make a similar event close by, Yeah, be sure to check out the website, as I said, that we put in the show notes, and you'll be able to find the right people to hook you up so the advertisement could get going.
We're happy to help.
I totally forgot. Stephen is an organizer himself. I don't know how that always slips my mind. But yeah, you could just contact Stephen on social.
I have one of those cool shirts that says, "Damn Expert Day." I don't think we have a Maui one.
Yet.
But yet.
Yeah. Moving along. So, Stephen, I mean, with .NET 9, we spoke about Preview 7 in our previous episode. There is a lot of new cool stuff coming out. And especially like in the mobile landscape, I have the feeling that every year there is some new crack and how you could fundamentally differently develop mobile applications. So like many, many years ago, we had the options of writing like native applications solely for one platform, sometimes also called a siloed approach, like when you write your Objective-C back in the day, today Swift for your iOS, or you write your Java back in the day, today Kotlin for the Android platform. And if you wanted to go to both platforms, you became a polyglot programmer because you had to learn two languages, and many people got very upset with that. And then out of that, the entire cross-platform movement evolved from we had Xamarin, today .NET MAUI, that offers this option for us as C# developers or F# developers, or let's just say .NET developers in general. But there is, from my point of view, there have also been a lot of new options introduced. So we have seen Blazor coming onto the site for us C# developers. So I have received questions where people go like, so should I now look at Blazor? Is .NET MAUI dead or not? So there's an interesting website I just saw lately.
I was about to say, yeah. There is such a website. Is .NET MAUI dead? .something. We'll put it in the show notes, the exact URL. From what I've seen on the website, it is not. So rest assured, it's not.
It's not. No, you heard it here first. or maybe your guts already told it to you. But I thought it was is a cute website because you can see like how many issues and commits, and like it's like a little statistics. It's not just like a statical website. So it is actually updating itself. I don't know what it would take so it will fall over. Maybe the logics is in the JavaScript, and you could then find out what the trigger is. I'll be honest, I haven't opened the DevTools on it and gone for a dig, but yeah, it's not dead yet. So no, you do not actually have to learn now Blazor to do a mobile application. And generally speaking, I think it really depends. I mean, if you want to develop for mobile or for multiple platforms, and you choose to do Swift, I think there are some efforts ongoing, or I've heard rumors. I can't put any links to the rumors, I'm afraid, into the show notes, but I heard rumors that Swift should go cross-platform, so you could now develop for different platforms. And what I'm trying to say is, generally speaking, if you are already on a platform and you have like a successful business running on that platform, wanting to change because there is a new technology is seldom a good idea. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't really matter if you learn Swift or Kotlin or C#, because obviously, if you learn Swift and you only have iOS and you think about, wow, I would really like to also dig into that Android market because half of my family is on Android and half of my family is on iOS, which for a Swiss person is actually a fact statement. Population is like pretty nicely split with this decision on what platform to be.
Just a side note here. You still call the people that use Android your family.
There's still love there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no heart.
I'm not judging. I'm not judging.
I mean, between us and our listeners, I might feel a bit bad for them that they have to put up with that thing. But, you know, I mean, their choices and... Yeah, but no, I will not judge anyone by their operating system. I will even say, if we are at an event and I'm holding an alcoholic beverage and you aren't, I will still clink glasses with you because I clink glasses with the person and not with your beverage. Just saying, okay?
Okay.
I mean, in Europe, this is a thing where you have to do. I don't know how it is in your place of the world, but we Swiss, we are the clinkers or the cheersayers. We go bananas. Like every round, you clink your glasses again with everyone and you make eye contact. And
jeez.
It's very weird for people
outside.
Sounds like a chore. It's very weird. as a Swiss, if you go outside and you get a new round, then you have to hold yourself back not to clink glasses again. Okay. It's a thing, you know, it's culture. Everything's different.
I'm learning.
Yeah, but back to the main topic, which I think was, like choosing your stack. So if you're using a language or development language that's only in a silo, you might have some challenges. Like if you've got a Swift application running on iOS, porting that thing over to Android with Swift, it might be tough. I don't know if there's frameworks there that already run for you. So there is like some upfront thinking that could help you. But once you got something that supports like what you want to do, I think there then you become like into the option space. So if we look at cross-platform options, I mean, there's like .NET MAUI, or there's Flutter, or there are, I think, NativeScript, if that's the one, or Anna-Land. So there are many different variants of how you could approach this cross-platform space. And I think from then on, you could really say like, well, what are my skills that I bring with to the table? And what are maybe the different approaches that some of these stacks take? And based on that, you could then make your initial decision. But once you make that, I think it becomes really hard to say, hey, I'll just throw my entire .NET MAUI code base away and I'll just move over to Flutter because everything will be better in Flutter, even the issues that have been created, they will all be better. And I mean, it's always fun to start something new. I totally get that excitement. But I would just say, like, from a app point of view, if you start to recreate the same thing you already had on a different platform, in the end, I don't know if the user really cares that much about your technical stack.
No, I would answer that already with a no. Like, the user really doesn't care how that app is built as long as it helps them. What they need to do doesn't have stability issues and all that kind of stuff. I mean, in the end, how you're building it, to me, it doesn't really matter that much. And all of these approaches, like you said, MAUI, Flutter, Web, Hybrid, Native, all of them, they all have their pros and cons. And like I get a lot of questions from potential customers or people. I have a full team of .NET developers. What mobile technology should I be using? Like, and it just doesn't make sense to go Flutter, or it doesn't make a lot of sense to go native, in my opinion. Like, you have an entire team of people who should theoretically, like, obviously, MAUI has its quirks. Every mobile framework has its quirks that you need to learn and get the hang of. But in the end, you're writing .NET code and you have a team of, say, 20 .NET developers. Like, why would you go and retrain someone in something completely different that then no one of the other people will ever be able to understand? Like, it just, to me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But
so generally speaking, I mean, if you are like at home with C#, I think not looking at .NET MAUI would be negligence on your part, because you're already so much set up. You already took the time to learn the language. You know many of the paradigms that are in there, especially since .NET MAUI has grown a lot closer with the general .NET idea. Like a few years back, if you were a C# developer and you started out using Xamarin, it was C#, yes, and you could use the entire language, but there were also like some fundamental differences, like how do you do dependency injection and stuff like that. It was just like you knew how it worked in the theories, but like applying it was always like, okay, over here we now have to do this and this a bit different because the library or the framework will not deliver that. And with .NET MAUI, if you're using a desktop app, or if you're using a desktop app built in .NET MAUI, or you're using a web application or a console application, you can use the same structure to get your application up and running and to just go off to the races. And that's something that I really like, because that means I once have to understand, hey, how does the .NET team envision that we do dependency injection? And I can then just follow along that path. And if I do something differently, like if I then go into the more detailed nitty-gritties, I mean, that will differ. But like if I have like this set of knowledge already built up, this would really help me to get out of the gates and get going. Because there is always this fun part where you explore a new framework and you just try things out and you just throw things onto that application. But if you're growing something that is of some meaning, you will have some complexity in there. And that's when all these how do I write software? What is, how do I create my architecture? And these skills that will again be needed and required. And they're the same if I write a backend application or a mobile application. The logic bits, they will be the same. There are some different considerations, of course. I mean, a backend application will have different demands, or that you will have multiple users making requests on a mobile phone. You usually don't have multiple people tapping on it, except it's in a TV show and people help each other out for typing in faster on a keyboard, and they share the keyboard with one another because there's a hacker in the network. Okay, I'm
digressing. You're going on a tangent, Mark.
I'm going on a tangent. Back. No, but yeah, generally speaking, I think if you've got those skills, why not check it out? And of course, I mean, I'm not saying never try out something different. I think that's a very valuable thing that you can do. So if you're not in the position that you're thinking like, oh my God, there are so many options, what should I do? But you're more like in the position, hey, there are options out there. That's cool. Let's have a look at it. Yeah, go for it. Because I mean, it will give you an idea how different frameworks do certain things. And the more that you know of that, I mean, that can be a great knowledge base once you like approach a new problem that you can say like, okay, so we want to solve X. What are my options that I have? And if you only know one option, that will be the only thing that you will use. And that's probably where the proverb comes. If you only have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So you will try to solve everything with that thing. So, I mean, sure, get your ideas. But I mean, generally speaking, if you are looking to get started, look, where are your strengths? And maybe choose something that's already there. Or you say like, hey, I already know this. I want to make a completely fresh start. Then, hey, be you. You be you. Once you've gone down a bit that path and you see over there, oh, that looks like super exciting, interesting. I want to try that out. Maybe hold yourself back for a bit and just like try to get your thing finished, because most probably with that other cool new tech, you will be able to do the same thing you've already done, but you would have to recreate the entire thing that you already did. And that is probably not the most productive way of using your time.
So here's the thing, right? You're saying the hammer nail thing. I think I'm a hammer. That
of course
you're
Steven.
Thank you. But no, like, you know, I'm so deeply entrenched in the Maui ecosystem that I'd say I'm a lost cause. It's too late for me. I can't go back out. So I know my opinions are at least to a degree biased towards .NET Maui, which I mean it's not necessarily a bad thing. But it also kind of limits me in my explorative desires. I'd love to know more about Hybrid and Blazor and all that stuff. And I've just, I'd almost say I don't have the time, but that might be also partly for a lack of desire. Like I'm perfectly fine where I am and doing the things I'm doing that I'm not kind of triggered to explore, which isn't really great. Like it's kind of hard if your entire day job is in a certain technology and you have kids and you have hobbies and you have other things sucking up your time, that I can fully see why people at some point get stuck and don't explore outside of that box or that hammer that they're using, which for me is definitely the case. But I just need to go to a talk of yours about the hybrids, and then I'll know all the things there are to know. But yeah, I wouldn't like all of a sudden quickly shift over to Flutter, where I know people who have been pretty deep into the Maui ecosystem have made that change, and I'm pretty sure that was for business reasons, or you know, there's something that drove them away. I don't know all the details, but there are people that do that. But it, for me, I just can't imagine sort of doing that, which is, I mean, it says more about me than anything else or the technologies.
I don't know. I mean, from my point of view where I'm sitting, I think it's totally fair to have that point of view that you're having. Because generally speaking, I mean, if you're using a technology that is not dead and it's being actively developed and it provides you the necessary tools for success, and for you, it's like a solved problem, and you want to move on to a different area and you don't want to re-explore the same area over and over and over and over again with different options. I mean, I'm totally with you. I mean, we got so many things that we can do in our lives. And for many of us, development is a great thing, or we really like doing it. And for you and me, it's beyond just the daily job. I mean, for us, it's like one could almost call it a true passion. Don't know if you really want to go there, just in case one of the wives starts listening into. But anyhow, I mean, for us, I think it's like more than just the job. We also do this a bit in our spare time sometimes, or we play around with things, and it brings us joy. But it also is a means to an end. So if I have, for me, I mean, I'm totally on the same wagon as you are. I'm pretty much biased towards using .NET and .NET MAUI. And the reason is because it provides many tools that help me solve a certain problem. And there might be something else out there that will help me solve the same problem better, but it will lack, again, in other areas. So it's always a bit of a trade-off, in my opinion. Whatever technology you choose. I mean, there are technologies that are like pretty much dead. They're no longer being developed on. And I think if your sole expertise is relying on that, I think that will be then the moment where you're like, okay, maybe I should really check this a bit out and go like a bit further, or maybe have a look at something new. But I think that is like a normal thing to do then. I mean, so if you see like, oh my God, my beloved .NET MAUI is coming to an end, we would probably move on to the next thing. I mean, who knows, maybe .NET will one day come to an end. It's been along for very long. They have done some very fundamental changes to keep it fresh, so it still works today. But I mean, you never know what the future brings. And I would never say like, you don't have to sell your life on a technology. Like once you learned it, you're never allowed to change. But the other thing is, I think a good point that you brought up, I mean, a lot of it could be like a business decision. Like the reason why I checked out stuff like Blazor MAUI or also Hybrid WebView MAUI is because in my company, the main application that we're working on, or our products, I mean, it's mainly web-based. So we have a lot of our views that are living in a web content. They're not written with XAML and C#. They're written in JavaScript and HTML and CSS. And how can I bring that thing that I've already done over there onto my mobile device and deliver like an experience that the user likes? And I think these are why these options started to come. So when the .NET team came out, or the ASP.NET team came out with Blazor, it was a great option how you could start writing single page applications using only C#. So people that have been doing Blazor for a while, they will tell you, well, it's mainly C# with a wee bit of JavaScript here and there. But anyhow, I mean, you can write your single page applications mainly with .NET, which is really cool. And if you're like invested into that skill and now you've got your Blazor application and you need a mobile application, how would you do that? And that's why the .NET MAUI team came up with, okay, well, let's make a Blazor WebView, which will really simplify their interaction between your Blazor view parts and your mobile parts. So it's so simple. It barely feels as if there would be two components. And yeah, when we now look at all the other people, like my company that had already had their web view thing going before Blazor really started to pick off. I mean, should we now rewrite our entire web application to use Blazor? I hard sell for management, and also like for us, it's like a tough one. So no, we kept on our web view. We used the existing web view that was already there in .NET MAUI or back in days, Xamarin. And with the hybrid web view that is now coming with .NET 9, we will have an even better component that is in our mobile app that will allow even easier interaction between the web parts and the native world, which is, I think, really cool. And I think these are also like what some of these options bring. They shouldn't be like, already got this thing, now there's a new option, so I'll kill off my old thing and move everything to the new thing. Except it's a demo application, and I fully understand why you would do that. But usually business applications are a bit more complex, and many, many hours, months, years have been invested into that thing. So yeah, then those options, they may make sense, and sometimes they don't. I mean, it's like if you look at AI, and Stephen told me he does not want to talk about AI in this show or this episode. So here we go, Stephen. I'm not listening to you on this one. No, but I mean, same thing with AI, right? I mean, we got these really cool new large language models that have got some very, very cool characteristics, and they solve certain problems like super nicely, but they might not be the right fit for your business case, or they just like you could slap it on top so that you can say, hey, we do it too, but does it actually bring a value? You know, like, I mean, and if it doesn't, I mean, I totally understand where you just go like, okay, I'll follow along with the headlines. And maybe one day when I have to get started, I at least will know, you know, like some of the lingo or where to look up into, but I will not really go super deep on that thing. I mean, for me, I could say it's like the same thing with Flutter, right? I mean, I know a bit how Flutter works. I did a Hello World and a Hello World Plus, you know, like these to-do things, and that's about it. But it gave me like a feel how it works and how the development experience is and that. And that was a valuable insight. It was also like time capped. And since then, I haven't really looked a lot at it. So I'm sure like Flutter is also evolving. So they're having new features and everything, bringing new options to you. But yeah, I think that is the ever-evolving tech life. It never stands still. There's always innovation happening. And it's always like tough to feel like not to feel bad because new things happen and you do not immediately jump up on it. But it doesn't always have to be bad, I think is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, I think I fully agree with you on that. I also like, for example, the whole Blazor WebView thing, or hybrid WebView, whatever you want to call it. Like, I don't even know if such a construct exists in a Flutter or in a native. Well, obviously in native you would have WebViews, but I don't know how. Like, WebViews in my brain are still like these half-assed browsers that render stuff poorly fairly regularly.
Yes.
So like if you were to have Blazor stuff or a web-based system in .NET already, like would Flutter even make sense? I don't know. It's like you said, I haven't kept up on that tech for reasons I alluded to earlier in this pod. But yeah, it's like For all I know, somewhere next week, a new competitor in that space pops up somewhere. Always worth checking out, I would say. But in the end, do keep in check whether it actually is going to improve what you're doing. Because yeah, like you said somewhere at the beginning already, it's really not worth throwing away years of work over just, hey, look at this shiny, hypey new thing that's arrived on the scene.
If you ever feel overwhelmed with options, I guess our message is just focus on one thing at a time and just go take it step by step. If you have someone in the space that has already got a foothold, maybe have a discussion with them, but always know they might be biased, like me and Steven. So if you will have a talk with us about, hey, I'm looking at mobile, guess what we will be recommending? It might start with a .NET and end in a MAUI. So I think that's like when you talk with the experts, they usually have their bias themselves. It's like really tough to like see. Yeah, I mean, even if we take a step back and say like, well, you know, there are many options out there. You know, there's that, and that. But let me tell you about my favorite one, right? I mean, it just is what it is. And I think in the end, you if you choose one and you start learning it, you will start learning principles that reapply to different frameworks. So even if you find out you have invested like half a year on the wrong tech stack, if you switch over, there will be a lot of concepts that you can reapply once you make that change. And there's also like a ton of other stuff once you go down a journey that you will learn left and right that will be reapplicable. Totally technology agnostic, one could say, or at least tech stack agnostic. So yeah, I think if we have options and the options that are coming, I think they're always cool because I can kind of sort them in. If you're at the beginning of this journey, it can feel a bit overwhelming, but it's also totally fine to just like listen to a talk. I mean, today in the interwebs, it's so easy to, oh, there's a new topic. Has Gerald already brought out a new YouTube video on that thing? If yes, watch it. Bam, be an expert. That at least works in the .NET MAUI space. But
I was about to say, he's also a bit biased technology-wise.
Maybe just a wee bit. But generally speaking, I mean, these days it's easy to get some information on a topic by someone who summarizes it. And if it's a trusted source, probably the better. But generally speaking, I mean, you don't have to be an expert in everything, and there is always new hype. And it's also a bit with the job. I mean, the technology conferences, they cannot bring every year the same content, even if that same content is still relevant. So guess what? We always chase the new stuff, and we always make talks about the new stuff, because the old stuff, everybody already knows, right? Probably wrong, but still.
There's some truth to that. Shiny new things, aspire older things. That's just
follow,
how that goes.
Follow the shiny new things. And on that note, this has been our show on All the Options Mobile. And we have been your hosts, Mark Alibone.
And Stephen Davison.
Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast. Give us that 5-star rating. Really helps along. And find us on the socials. That has been us for now.
Such a cliffhanger.